encourages us simply to take one step at a time with his help. Using the Gospel of Matthew as our inspiration, we try to capture the steps of discipleship in something that we're calling the revolution pathway. And you'll see the six steps. If you switch to the next slide. So the six steps: follow Jesus, serve with Jesus, learn from Jesus, become like Jesus, empowered by Jesus, and sent for Jesus. These steps aren't necessarily in chronological order, but they represent a holistic picture of discipleship. And it's also important to note that we don't have to take these steps in order for Jesus to have a relationship with us. We get to take these steps because he offers us a relationship. And we chose the word revolution because of its double meaning. On the one hand, revolution means a radical change. And I guarantee you, if you take these six steps with Jesus, it will radically change your life and your world for the better. On the other hand, revolution means to revolve or turn around like a wheel. And the discipleship process is ongoing. Ideally, we keep growing through this pathway over and over, each time at a deeper level, and each time, hopefully, bringing new people with us who don't yet have a relationship with Jesus. And in the message last week, we talked about small steps that lead towards following Jesus with our whole lives. And if you missed that message, I would so encourage you to listen to it on our website or on our app. And last week after service, we had a fun interactive experience where we got to get to know some of the other people from the 11 community that we're taking this journey with. Just a show of hands, how many of you got to participate in that event last week? Put your hands up. Yeah, a lot of you. Did you have a good time? Was it a good experience? Yeah, my son and I, we had a blast doing it. So I hope you can come today. We have another neat experience planned after worship today that connects with our theme for the day. And as I read to you from Matthew, we got to see the very first thing that Jesus does with his new followers. He serves with them. This step kind of surprised me a little bit. Maybe it's just kind of how I think about things, but I would have imagined Jesus' first step would be to take his disciples aside, sit them down, and give them some instructions about what it means to follow Jesus. Now, learning from Jesus, it's an important step in the revolution pathway. We're going to get to that next week. But that's not the first thing he does with his disciples. The very first thing the disciples do is serve with Jesus. They travel with him as he serves people's needs, both spiritual and physical. And after service today, we're going to serve with Jesus by packing blessing bags for the homeless. And these bags will be given to a Lutheran church called First Trinity that has a wonderful ministry with the homeless in Chicago. I actually went to seminary with the pastor of First Trinity and got to talk with him a little bit in preparation for today. I'm excited to share with you more of that conversation and more about the service project. But before we get into serving together, I thought it might help to reflect a little bit about why serving is such a revolutionary step on the pathway. I don't think it was an accident that this was the very first thing Jesus did with his disciples. In the message, we're going to reflect on three revolutionary aspects of serving. Serving revolutionizes the way we see God. It revolutionizes the way we see others. And it revolutionizes the way we see ourselves. So first, serving with Jesus revolutionizes the way we see God. By serving, Jesus revealed something revolutionary about God. God cares about our needs and comes to serve. That you're not looking as shocked as you should. This is revolutionary. It was particularly revolutionary in the first century context where Jesus did his ministry. You might remember that Jesus lived in Israel, which was under the Roman occupation. And the Roman view of God was heavily influenced by Greek mythology. You know, the pantheon, Zeus, Aphrodite, all those. And according to Greek legends, there were several gods. And these gods weren't very concerned about serving others. They were more concerned about serving themselves. They would fight with each other. They would do awful things in order to get on top. And these so-called gods, they didn't care a lot about the needs of people because they were consumed with fulfilling their own needs. people were expected to serve the gods. And if they didn't please the gods, they could expect some severe torture or suffering. Now, Rome added emperor worship to the religious mix. The emperors were exalted as a god. And the people were expected to worship and serve the emperor. It would have been unheard of for an emperor to stoop down and serve a common person. This was the prevailing view of God. And onto the scene comes Jesus, and he shows us what God is really like. There is one God, and this one God is nothing like the Romans or the Greeks suggested. Our God actually cares about our needs and comes to serve. And this revolutionary view of God, it doesn't lower our estimation of God in any way. In his letter to the Philippians, Paul wrote, "At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow." Just like we did today, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. See, God is worthy of our worship and our service. God doesn't have to fight for the top spot because he's already got it. And yet, this God who is over all, above all, cares about our needs and comes to serve. Revolutionary. Later in his ministry, Jesus would spell this out very clearly for his disciples. If you're tracking along, Matthew chapter 20, verse 25 to 28, Jesus said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles," those emperors, "they lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many." It's revolutionary. And before describing this view of God to his disciples, Jesus showed it to them. Very first thing the disciples do is they serve with Jesus. And through his preaching, Jesus shows that God cares about our spiritual needs. He traveled around sharing the good news that, hey, I've come to give my life to save yours. I will take the punishment for your sin on myself. I will conquer death so that all who believe in me can have forgiveness and eternal life. Talk about serving. And then he takes it another step further. Through his healing, Jesus shows that God cares about our physical needs as well. His ministry with the hurting and the broken demonstrates that God cares about our everyday struggles and desires to meet those needs through his power and through his people. And I think this view of God is still revolutionary today. I would guess many of us have gone through difficult times in our life where it felt like God wasn't there, or God didn't care. We might have a picture of God as some faraway, distant God who's not involved and maybe doesn't even exist. But nothing could be further from the truth. Jesus invites us to serve with him so that we can experience and help others experience that God cares about our needs and comes to serve. When I spoke with the pastor of First Trinity, the pastor of the church that we're giving the bags to, he said that their ministry with the homeless started when a few of the older women in their church caught this revolutionary view of God. Their church is located in an area where there's a lot of poverty, a lot of homelessness. And at the time, there was a good food pantry where the need for hunger could be met. But they started to recognize there were other needs that weren't being met. A big one was clothing. That people didn't have a place to go to get warm, good clothing. And in a season like this, that's a big deal. And those women believed that God cares about that need and wanted to meet the need through his power and through his people. And so with the support of their congregation, they started a clothing pantry. They fittingly called it God's Closet, so that everyone who comes in would know that God cares about our needs and comes to serve. So serving with Jesus, it revolutionizes the way we see God. It also revolutionizes the way that we see others. By serving, Jesus revealed something revolutionary about other people. Every person matters to God, especially those in need. Now, Jesus stretched his disciples a little bit beyond their normal social circles, beyond probably their comfort zone. He had his disciples spend time with people they probably didn't spend much time with before. He had them in close proximity with people they might have wanted to keep at a distance. Listen to the list of the people that they served. Those who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed. Now just try to imagine yourself in that crowd, surrounded by those kinds of people. Now, if that makes you just slightly uncomfortable, I think that's normal. And I think that's the point. Jesus stretches us beyond our normal social circles, beyond our comfort zones, because he wants us to see something important. Every person matters to God, especially those in need. I like how Bill Hybels said it. He says, "We've never locked eyes with someone who doesn't matter to God." The trouble is we tend to isolate ourselves from people who are different. And we keep those in need at a distance. Jesus told a famous story called the Good Samaritan. You probably heard that before, right? There's a man and he's attacked, robbed, left for dead on the side of the road. Two religious men walk by and you think, yay, they're gonna help him. But instead, they cross over to the other side of the road and keep on moving. In contrast, a Samaritan, somebody who is different, of a different race, a different society, a different culture from the guy who was hurt, a Samaritan walks by and he serves the man. He bandages his wounds. He takes him somewhere safe. He pays for his recovery. And Jesus says, that's what it looks like to be a neighbor. Go and do the same. And as we follow Jesus, he begins to open our eyes to see that every person matters to God, especially those in need. A couple of chapters later in Matthew's gospel, Matthew 25, Jesus tells a striking parable. In the parable, he gathers all people together and separates them into two groups. To the people on the right, he blesses. And he says to them, I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. The people on the right, they said, we don't remember that. How did we do that? And Jesus said, whatever you do for one of the least of my brothers and sisters, you do it for me. How we treat other people matters to God, because every person matters to God. Jesus highlights a few people that he wants to make sure are on our radar. The hungry, the thirsty, the foreigner, the poor, the homeless, the sick, the prisoner. These are not just needy people. These are beloved people who matter very much to God. And two other people that God mentions all throughout the Bible are widows and orphans. In Psalm 68:5, the psalmist writes, "A father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy dwelling." One of my theories of why God focuses so much on these two groups is both widows and orphans, they don't have an earthly father in the picture. And God wants them to know that they have a heavenly father who loves them and is with them always. The pastor of First Trinity said that they had to revamp their homeless ministry when they kind of lost this revolutionary view of others. He said some of the leaders got burnout and they started treating the guests cruel and mean. And so he did something bold. He said, hey, we're gonna close down just for a little remodeling. They took a break, tidied up the place, painted it, and they came up with a new motto. They said, our motto is, we do community, not charity. And they drove home the point that they wanted to treat people like people. And they wanted to create a community where it was evident that every person matters to God, especially those in need. And once they opened, they started to have a community meal that went along with the clothing pantry. Volunteers will bring meals, and they're encouraged to mingle with the guests while they eat. And the pastor says he's starting to see signs of community forming. The other day he walked in and he saw an elderly homeless woman sharing her cigarette with a young hipster man. And he said, there's something so wrong about that picture. He doesn't endorse smoking in any way. He says it's bad for you, don't do it. But on the other hand, he's like, there's something so right about that picture too. That somehow they're fostering the kind of community where it's evident every person matters to God. And our role is to serve each other. So serving, it revolutionizes our view of God. It revolutionizes our view of others. And then finally, serving with Jesus revolutionizes the way we see ourselves. By serving, Jesus reveals something revolutionary about each and every one of us. Jesus can use our gifts to make a difference in the world. At times, Jesus surprised his disciples by having them help serve others. One great example is found in Matthew chapter 14, verses 14 to 21. We know this story as Jesus feeding the 5,000, but you could just as easily title it the disciples feeding the 5,000. You probably know the story. It was getting late. The disciples said, go send the hungry people away so they can find food elsewhere. And Jesus said, no, you feed them. And the disciples, they argue back and forth. We could never do that. How could we ever do that? And Jesus says, well, what do you have? And they said, all we have is 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And Jesus takes it, blesses it, breaks it, and gives it to the disciples for them to distribute to the people. And in the end, everybody had more than enough. They collected 12 baskets of food left over. And that day, the disciples discovered that Jesus can use our gifts, no matter how small they may seem, to make a difference in the world. The pastor of First Trinity told me stories about how this truth was revolutionizing members of his congregation. One story he told me was about a woman named Elma. When he first met Elma, she was so shy. She hardly spoke a word because she was afraid that her English was bad. For years, he said, people thought her name was Emma because she spoke so quietly and she didn't have the heart to correct people when they said her name wrong. But through following Jesus, Elma has discovered that she does have a voice, and Jesus can use her voice to make a difference. When they realized that in their community they didn't have adequate transportation from the food pantry to the clothing pantry, Elma went before her congressperson and used her voice to advocate for a new bus route, which they now have. See, God has given each and every one of us gifts that he can use to make a difference in the world. We have gifts of time, gifts of abilities, gifts of financial resources. We have spiritual gifts that God gives to us to help us serve. Last week, our homework was to start the Matthew reading plan. This week, our homework is to take a spiritual gifts survey. It can be found at, this is really easy, gifttest.com. Pretty simple, gifttest.com. And this survey will help you discover what spiritual gifts God has given you. And next week, we're going to have an opportunity to reflect on these spiritual gifts and think about how we can best use those gifts to serve others. Because Jesus can use our gifts to make a difference in the world. And when we use our gifts together, holy cow, the impact is exponential. We're going to see that in a little bit with the blessing bags. Each of us brings a little bit to the table, But together, we can do so much. And in our church, we see the exponential factor a lot. I mean, over the past few months, we've been seeing videos that are prepared by our communication team of all the amazing things God is doing through our weekly offerings. From providing educational opportunities for low-income families, to transforming marriages, to creating a permanent space for our special needs ministry, to expanding worship opportunities like 11. Jesus is using our gifts to make a difference in the world. We had 70 people sign up to run the Chicago Marathon to raise money for clean water in Africa. 70 people together, they raised over $150,000. Jesus is using our gifts to make a difference in the world. We've partnered with Feed My Starving Children to pack over 1 million meals to be distributed around the world. This year, the goal is even bigger for Feed the Need. The goal is 1.2 million and 1,000 volunteers from Good Shepherd. It's huge. I hope you can be a part of it. I was talking with Tom Duffy, who works with Feed My Starving Children, and he said that 5 years ago, the World Food Program reported that 18,000 children were dying every single day because of hunger. But because of organizations like Feed My Starving Children and the gifts of churches like Good Shepherd, that number today, 5 years, just 5 years, is down from 18,000 to 6,200. Now, don't get me wrong, that's still way too high. There's still so much to be done. But holy cow, that's huge. Jesus is using our gifts to make a difference. See, I don't think it was an accident that Jesus chose the first thing that he did with his disciples to be serving. Because this is a revolutionary step in the pathway. And I'll be transparent with you. God's been using this message to work on my heart. This past week, the day that I set out to begin writing the sermon, I just got bombarded with interruptions. One after the other. There was a baptism family that needed a special appointment. There was a guy who had a work issue. He came in, he wanted to talk about it. There was a woman who fell and she was in the hospital. My family called and said they had a plumbing emergency. And it was just like one thing after the other. And I found myself, I hate to admit it, getting annoyed with the interruptions. And I felt like God was saying, hey, remember the message that you're supposed to be working on? And in that moment, I was like, oh, yeah. And I remembered that God cares about our needs and comes to serve. I remembered that every person matters to God, especially those in need. I remembered that Jesus can use my gifts, our gifts, to make a difference in the world. And that revolutionized my perspective. And I stopped seeing them as interruptions and instead began to see them as opportunities to serve. And my challenge for myself, for all of us this week, is to bring a question with us into the week. Just a simple question. It's a question that you can ask Jesus. It's a question you can ask yourself. It's a question that you can ask others. Here's the question. How can I help? Wherever you go, wherever you're at this week, ask that simple question. How can I help? If you're at home with your family, ask, how can I help? There's some teens, younger students. If you ask your parents, how can I help? They may fall over from just surprise. Likewise, parents, if you ask your kids, how can I help? They might be shocked too. Or when you're at work or school, ask, how can I help? Think about how that could change a work environment if everybody's asking, how can I help? When you're at church or when you're reading through your prayer and action guide, ask, how can I help? Several of you have stepped forward to serve for the 11 service. Thank you so much. This is our community. We need each other. We're in the process of developing serving teams, so please let us know if you'd like to be a part of serving. And then when you're in your neighborhood, when you're out around your town or city, ask, how can I help? This simple question can revolutionize the way we see God, the way we see others, the way we see ourselves. At the bottom of your sermon notes is a response card, and I want to give you a moment now to prayerfully consider how you can respond to this step in the revolution pathway, this message, this scripture. If you put your name and your email, I promise I will pray for you and write to you. You can check the boxes that apply, fill out your response, put it in the offering basket, or hand it to me on your way out. If you have a smartphone, you can just scan the code at the top and do it all from your phone as well. I'm going to give you a moment with God in prayer, and then I'm going to close us and lead us on to the next part of worship. Pray with me. God, it really blows my mind that